When things are going like they're supposed to, we feel like God is at work. And God is also at work in the times when we feel like things are going terribly wrong. Like this guy that you'll see in this video. If you're online, you'll see a link later on that you can post. So the guy in this video, all right, there he goes. He's got a great idea. He's going to go skateboarding down the highway. And as he's rolling along, he's beginning to realize that this probably isn't the best idea. And he starts to wobble a little bit. And he starts to look. If we zoom back in on his face, he's starting to think, hey, maybe this isn't so good. I'm looking for a way out. And here we go. That's going to be right here. Boom. And he does a face plant right in the ditch. So that went terribly wrong. You know, there are times in our lives when we feel like this guy, like we're on a downhill skateboard ride and we are realizing that we're in far above our expertise and things are going terribly wrong and all we want to do is get off the skateboard. We're looking for a way out. We're looking for a ditch to fall into. These are, there are times that really test our faith and we're asking, how can God possibly work through this mess that I'm in? Well, Romans 8:28 in the Bible, it says, and we know that in all things God works. Say all things. In all things God works for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. The problem is that oftentimes our struggles, and when we're in the midst of them, they feel like failures. And we question, how can God possibly work this out in a good way for me? And because we can't see the good things that are at the end, we often expect that this is just going to be a hopelessly bad situation and we want to give up, right? We consider abandoning the mission or at least taking a seat on the side. We wonder, is this all worth it? What's the point? But if we quit, we're definitely going to miss out on the good things that God can still accomplish. And nobody wants to miss out. So that means somehow we have to figure out how to hang in there, how to keep moving ahead when it seems like things aren't getting much better, or in fact, it seems like things are getting worse. How do we hang in there? Well, far too often we fail to recognize that God isn't only at work in the seasons when life seems successful, but God often does his best work in us in the difficult ones. So stay the course. Don't give up. Because God is at work in every season of your life. And we discover this in the life of the prophet Isaiah in 1 Kings chapter 17 through 19. This is a great story. If you're familiar with it, you're going to love this. Hear it again. If you're not, stay tuned. This is amazing. Katie just began to get into it. So Elijah, he's one of those bold guys in the Bible. He's an unstoppable force in the face of obstacles. He just keeps moving ahead. Whatever he faces, whatever's in front of him, he doesn't stop. He keeps going, trusting God. And he's right because God can do unimaginable things. And with Elijah's confidence, he begins to experience that. You know, Elijah is revered in the Bible as one of the greatest prophets in the Old Testament. In fact, when Jesus is up on the mountain in this transfiguration, when his disciples get to see all of his glory, you know who's there with him, who appears? It's Elijah and Moses. And then when Jesus talks about John the Baptist, he says, you know, John is, he has the spirit of Elijah, this spirit of bringing people back to God. So this is an amazing prophet. He's a big deal. Elijah's this spiritual giant in the Bible. And yet, at the most crucial moment of his life, he does something that's so uncharacteristic for someone like him. He gives up. Elijah gives up and veers off course. Elijah seems to have missed one of the biggest lessons of faith. But instead of tossing him out, God graciously, he helps Elijah recognize the lesson and its timely message. And I think it is for us here today, this idea right here. God is not done with us. God is not done with us. Don't give up. So as we begin to face the struggles that we've continued facing over the last 2 years, and we wonder when things are going to get better. We sometimes feel like, what's the point? Let's throw it in. The encouragement here is, God's not done. Stay the course. Keep following Jesus. And if you've strayed from that path that God has called you to, then return. Stay the course, because the best is yet to come. So let me walk through this story with you about Elijah, who came so close to doing just that, to staying the course. And as you hear his story, I believe that you and I are going to gain the confidence that we need to keep moving forward in this season of life. So we need to know what's happening in this time of Elijah. He's serving God in a time when a king and queen have come to power in Israel that have led God's people away from God. The Bible describes them like this. There was never a man like Ahab. So this is a one-of-a-kind kind of king here. There was never a man like Ahab who sold himself to do evil in the eyes of the Lord, urged on by Jezebel, his wife. So these are dark times. And in these dark times, God raises up a light, Elijah, to bring the people back, to take them away from worshiping idols. And God wanted to reveal his power and strength to these people by bringing about a famine. Now, this isn't a famine to necessarily punish them, but it's a famine to help them to recognize that God is God, that God loves them, that God wants to bring them back to him. So we begin in 1 Kings 17. Now, Elijah, who was from Tishbe in Galilee, or Gilead, told King Ahab, "As surely as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, the God I serve, there will be no rain or dew during the next few years until I give the word." So there's not going to be any rain. The problem with this is it paints a target on the back of Elijah. Because the king, you know, he feels like Elijah is messing with their gods that they're now following, the Baals. And that he needs to get a hold of Elijah, he needs to turn him around, because Elijah needs to take this back or they're in big trouble. But Elijah realizes that the rains have stopped because God's trying to reveal himself to his people. So Ahab is out to find Elijah to recall this prophecy. So God does something quite amazing. He tells Elijah to go and hide. I think this is very telling for us about what it means to be a follower of Jesus. It's not just the words that we speak, but God uses our whole self as a witness. And in this time, he uses Elijah's absence as a message. The message is, this famine is going to be severe. It's going to bring God's people back. So often we miss the importance of our lives in the work of God. Your life speaks. Do you hear that? Your life speaks. So God is calling Elijah into a difficult lifestyle, to disappear for a while till God's ready to bring him back and give the word to bring the rain. And sometimes we realize that it's in these struggles, in these tough times, that God is using to reveal himself. So for Elijah, the struggle was real. He was in this wilderness area in the middle of the drought. And while he's there, God miraculously provides for him with a brook, a stream, and what? Birds, right? Ravens that come to feed him. It says the ravens brought him bread and meat each morning and evening, and he drank from the brook. I don't know about you, but this doesn't really sound like success to me. You know, hiding out in the middle of a ravine by a little brook, getting fed by ravens. Now, I thought about this. This isn't a commentary or anything, but I thought about this. You know what ravens are, right? They're like crows. We call them crows around here, maybe a little bigger. And, you know, they're scavengers. So what does that mean that they eat? You know, we're in the middle of a drought here in Elijah's time. You know, the animals don't have food and water, so they're probably dying all over the place. And these ravens are having a heyday going and picking up all this, what we might call roadkill. And, you know, and God says, the ravens are going to feed you. And Elijah's thinking, great, right? So he's getting this food, he has water, he has food, he has provision. Probably some of it's a little outdated on the label, but, you know, who knows. So we imagine how this is maybe not the best experience, but a huge faith-building experience for Elijah. He experienced God's provision in unexpected ways in difficult times. And that, I think, is exactly what we've experienced here at Bethlehem, and maybe you in your life. It seems like we've been in these wilderness times, and things aren't turning out like we expected, and they continue to be not what we expect. And yet, God provides an amazing way, in unexpected ways, and brings provision. And for us, it really is, if we're willing, it really is a faith-building experience to see God's faithfulness in the midst of troubling times. It may not be what we expect, but we find God graciously providing in unexpected ways. For Elijah, this is easily a season of struggling, but it's not a failure. He's right where he's supposed to be, and God is at work. So after this season of roadkill and dry bread, I'm sure he's ready for the Lord to, you know, send him off to say this message that the rains are coming, things are going to be great, Ahab and everybody's going to turn back to the Lord, this is great, he's put in his time, it's time for the message, but instead the brook dries up. So it says, the Lord said to Elijah, go and live in a village of Zarephath near the city of Sidon. I've instructed a widow there to feed you, so he went to Zarephath. Now I can just imagine Elijah thinking, you know, I'm so sick of wearing masks. No, that's probably not what Elijah was thinking. He says, I'm ready for a home-cooked meal, right? So he's anticipating, probably that he goes on this long journey. He's going to meet this widow. She's going to have this nice big meal prepared for him. He's excited. He's anticipating. But when he gets there, he finds that things aren't any better. They're actually worse. The widow said, I swear by the Lord your God that I don't have a single piece of bread in the house, and I have only a handful of flour left in the jar and a little cooking oil in the bottom of the jug. I was just gathering a few sticks to cook this last meal, and then my son and I will die. Wow, I mean, what a greeting, right? This widow is at the end of her rope. She is already resigned to the fact that they're going to die. This is it. So this is not good news. I wonder if it crossed Elijah's mind at this point, you know, did I hear wrong? Did I miss something here? Did the Lord really send me to this widow? And in fact, this hometown of Zarephath, or this town of Zarephath, it's actually Queen Jezebel's hometown. And she'd like nothing more than to kill this prophet of God along with all the other ones. But Elijah is learning that God is not done, and Elijah just needs to keep moving forward. So he encourages this widow that even though, you know, this is a severe test, he's asking her to give him a bit of this last meal. If she trusts Elijah's God, she's going to see that he's not done with her either. Because here's the thing, the God of Israel, he defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow. He loves the alien, giving them food and clothing. See, Elijah tells her that God has promised provision for you. The flour, the oil, it's not going to run out until God sends rain on the land. And just as God has promised, in the middle of a famine, there's provision. And this widow and her son and Elijah are all saved. God is doing a good work in this experience. So he's staying the course. He's waiting on the Lord. Elijah's faith is growing. You know, life is full of ups and downs. Oftentimes, they're unpredictable. And if you're in a down cycle right now, which a lot of us feel like, you know, it's kind of a down cycle, don't give up. Walk in obedience. Trust the Lord. Get right with the Lord. Walk in his calling, because God has not given up on you. Some of my most growing moments, I think, for Cheryl and I have been in seasons when we've had the least provision. I can think of a particular time when we were in seminary and things were tight, and Cheryl had made a grocery list and the funds weren't there to go to the store and buy the groceries. And that very day, someone shows up at our door with food. And you know, the amazing thing is that everything that was on the grocery list was in that package. Now, how did they know that? Well, God provided. And I tell you, that was a faith-building experience. that God remembered us, that God loved us, that God was working even in the difficult moments. I'm sure at this point Elijah's getting ready now for something really big, right? This is going to be the big announcement's coming, the rains are coming, everything's going to work out for good. It's got to. Everything's got to work out. But the season hasn't changed yet. As we read on, it says, sometime later, the woman's son became sick. He grew worse and worse, and finally, he died. Wow, right? The struggles are just piling up here for Elijah. And this one, it really shakes him. He cries out to the Lord, oh, Lord, my God, why have you brought tragedy to this widow who has opened her home to me, causing her son to die? You know, Elijah had come to this home, this miracle that God worked through him, it actually saved this boy's life, and now he's dead. Elijah, he's like, I just don't get this. This makes no sense. But he keeps trusting, and he prays to the Lord, and God does the inconceivable. He raises him back to life through Isaiah's actions. And Elijah sees that God is not only the God of the living, but he is the God of the resurrection. You know, we know that as followers of Jesus, we know that Jesus died and rose again, but think about this, that God can even change unchangeable situations, that God can do the impossible. He is the God of resurrection. And it transforms not just Elijah's faith once more, but also the faith of those around him. This mother says, now I know for sure that you are a man of God and that the Lord truly speaks through you. Elijah is learning to stay the course. He's learning to anticipate that God works in all circumstances. And finally the time comes. The famine is about to end in a showdown at Mount Carmel. This is really what Elijah's been waiting for all the time. He expects all of Israel now, the king, the queen, all the people, they're finally going to throw away their idols and they're going to turn to God. And this is going to be what Elijah sees as his big success. So Mount Carmel, it helps to envision this place. It's in Israel. Mount Carmel is this kind of, it's called a mountain, but it's really a big high hill that sits in the middle of the Jezreel Valley. And you can see from the top of this hill miles and miles across farmland. And it's a great place to demonstrate God's power in the midst of a drought, right? All this farmland, which is parched and dry and desperate need of rain after 3.5 years. And God gathers all of Israel up on Mount Carmel. King Ahab, all the prophets of the false idols that they're following, the Baals, and there's going to be a showdown. So Elijah describes the situation. He calls all the prophets together. There's 450 prophets of Baal. There's one prophet of God, Elijah, and he says that we're going to do this sacrifice. He says, people, you have to determine who you're going to follow. Either follow the Baals, if they're God, or follow Israel's God, if he's God. So here's how they set it up. That they're going to offer a sacrifice. The Baal prophets are going to slaughter an animal, lay it on the altar, and Elijah is going to slaughter an animal and lay it on his altar. And the God who sends fire down from heaven, that is the true God. So they can't light the sacrifice. They have to wait for the God that they pray to come and light the sacrifice. So Elijah says, you guys go first. There's a whole bunch of you. So they do. And they start slaughtering the animal, they place it on the altar, and they begin to pray and dance and do their thing, but nothing happens. And they go all morning till noon, nothing happens. And then Elijah, he starts to taunt them a little bit. He says, well, maybe your God's sleeping. And Elijah knows that this is an idol, it has no power, it is not a real God. And he says, you know, continue calling out on your God. So they do all day until the evening sacrifice, and nothing happens. So finally, Elijah, he rebuilds his altar, he sacrifices the animal, puts it on the altar, and he prays this. He said, oh Lord, answer me. Answer me so that these people will know that you, O Lord, are God and that you have brought them back to yourself. So God sends down fire in a powerful display of his power and glory. And the people respond just like Isaiah had expected. The Lord, he is God. Yes, the Lord is God. And the people now have returned to God. Everything that he expected has happened right before his very eyes. The prophets of Baal are seized and killed, and Elijah goes out now to pray for rain. And as he prays, the clouds begin to form and the rains come in this great torrential downpour. Everything that Elijah had hoped for, everything that he expected, has finally taken place. Isn't that amazing? What an amazing story. You know, and for you and I, we expect that when we go through troubling times that God is going to accomplish the very purpose with which we have been seeking him. That we expect good things are going to come. We expect the things we've been hoping for are really going to turn out. And you know, as followers of Jesus, I think we need that hope. We need that expectation. We need that confidence in God. But listen to what happens to Elijah. One of the greatest revivals of all time, at the top of his game, Elijah fails. Elijah fails. What happens? After all this, Elijah loses his confidence in God. Do you trust God is bigger than your fears? Troubles come. Things threaten to unravel our faith. But troubles are not failures. God's not done. And if we stay the course, we are called to adjust our plans, not to our own expectations, but to God's ways. You know, Elijah probably expected that Ahab and Jezebel were going to turn back to God. He was probably imagining sitting down with Jezebel in a nice Bible study and laughing and joking with her. You know, everything restored and great. Well, it doesn't happen that way. Jezebel's a powerful person. And she's brutal towards her adversaries, and she hasn't changed. And Jezebel threatens Elijah, saying, "May the gods strike me and even kill me if by this time tomorrow I have not killed you just as you killed them." And how does this powerful prophet respond? Elijah was afraid and fled for his life. His fears became bigger than his faith. You know, the big question we ask, I think, in this whole story is, how could this happen to Elijah? How could this happen after this experience that he has had? And if it happens to Elijah, could it happen to us? You know, he didn't turn away in this life-threatening journey in the barren wilderness. He didn't slow down when God directed him to go to a country and a helpless widow who was starving. He experienced this boy's death, and it shook him, but he turned to God and prayed and saw God display powerfully in his life. And his resolve was strong enough to stand down 450 prophets of Baal. He's unstoppable until he isn't. What happened? When Queen Jezebel threatened his life, he thought all was lost. At the most crucial moment of his life, he veered off course. Way off. These are very crucial moments for the church. These are crucial moments for followers of Jesus. These are days of struggle. And not just for this church, but all churches and the church around the world. Not for just us, but people all over the world. But struggles aren't failures. God's not done. Don't give up. So how bad does Elijah think it was? Well, he runs away, travels all day. He sits down under a tree in the desert, and he prays this. "I've had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life, for I am no better than my ancestors who have already died." Have you ever been there? "I'm done. Take me out. I've had enough. It's not worth it." Elijah was expecting this big moment was going to change everything in an instant, but that doesn't happen, and it crushes him. We may be wondering why things in our lives aren't working out the way we expected, especially after maybe feeling like we're serving the Lord in big ways. Sometimes there are simple decisions that we're called to, humble obedience, places that God wants to lead us, places that we don't yet understand what God is doing. You know, life is just full of big moments and little ones, hard ones and easy ones. But we can be confident that God is at work in all of them. You know, today is our annual meeting here at Bethlehem Church. And for those who have been around, we know that God has showed us some amazing seasons in the last decade. You know, just 2 years ago, we were at the verge of a major church expansion, a really big one. And as we look back and scratch our head and think, wow, Lord, what happened? But struggles are not failure. Our faith is not overcome. We know and we have seen that God works through faithful obedience as we pursue him in the difficulties. And we're seeing moments of glory returning as we regather and fellowship together, our kids and youth as they gather and worship, in ways that we serve each other in trying times through extreme generosity and things like the Pay It Forward gift this year through the church, through new community outreach initiatives like Safe Families, and tomorrow with the kickoff of this anticipated and long-awaited generosity campaign and a hopeful spring expansion. So, yes, we have struggled, and more struggles will come, but struggles are not failures. God is at work. Don't give up. So when Elijah comes to this place before God, and God meets him there, and God has one question for him. He says, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? And Elijah goes through the whole list of woes. He says, you know, it's terrible. You know, everything's gone bad. I have zealously served the Lord. People of Israel have broken their covenant with you. They've torn down your altars. They've killed everyone of your prophets. I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too, right? We all have a list of litany, don't we? Oh, woe is me, Lord. Things are tough. It's bad. But the Lord simply asks him, Elijah, what are you doing here? It's a simple reminder that Elijah has veered off course. And although times were tough, although what Elijah is sharing is real, what he doesn't realize is that God is not finished with him yet. God still has a purpose for him. God still is at work in bringing about his purpose in Israel. So God restores him, God encourages him, tells him he's not alone, and sends him back to the place where he veered off track to finish his work. Why are you here? Why are you here? Are you here because you're confident that God is not done with you yet? In the ups and downs of life, good things are ahead. You want to keep moving forward in faith? Then here's my encouragement to you. Keep moving forward. Don't give up. If you're here today realizing, like Elijah, that you've veered off course, then God's invitation is, come back to me. Come back to me. Let me restore you. Renew your relationship with Jesus. Get right with the people around you. Re-engage in a life of following Jesus. Maybe come and join the Alpha Course tonight at 6 o'clock. Because God is not done with you. So the invitation is that God is still at work. He wants to restore his people to the full experience of glory and grace that is yet to come. Trust God and keep moving forward. Let us pray. Lord, it's kind of our nature, especially gathered with the church, to want to express our faith and our confidence in you. But we all know, Lord, there are seasons and times in our lives when that confidence is stretched. Lord, when we maybe aren't quite sure. Lord, when we are wondering if it's all worth it. Lord, we're wondering if you remember us. Lord, in those moments, help us to remember why we are here, who we are, and who you are. Lord, for those of us who maybe have strayed off the path, help us today to hear your call to return, to come back, because Lord, we know that you receive each one who turns to you. For all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Lord, strengthen us and renew our confidence to stay the course. And Lord, for those of us here today who trust you and continue to walk with you and continue to struggle through difficult times, help us, Lord, to be open to how you are providing in the midst of the struggle. And help us, Lord, to be humble enough to learn the lessons that you are giving. So, Lord, we do trust you. We thank you. We put our faith and trust in you. And, Lord, trust that you are at work in all situations. Lord, we commit to moving forward with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.